Would you take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 27? Psalm 27. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, what a great question for us to ask. How can it be that you would love us, and yet you do? And so we praise you for that.
Amen.
I do pray now that as we look into your word, your precious word, your holy word, that you would guide us and you would teach us. Pray that you would give us the specific application that we need from these truths. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and read Psalm 27. And what you'll notice as we read through this, that David is speaking from a very personal perspective. And this is one of the Psalms that I go back to often and find great encouragement. You'll see that he uses over 48 personal pronouns. Those are the ones I've counted and the way I've categorized them. There's at least 48 personal pronouns, but intermixed with all of those personal pronouns, you see the Lord, my God, the Lord, my salvation. I want you to notice that as we read Psalm 27 together. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry in my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto me, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelties. I had fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
What a wonderful God that we serve.
Yeah.
And I certainly it can be praised for one of those, all those wonderful truths in there. Did you sense that he was going through something?
Yeah.
You see things like the wicked, mine enemies, foes, a host was encamped against me. He describes being in a time of trouble. Even we see that he cried unto the Lord. He felt forsaken by those closest to him. He describes that many were against him and many who were against him were cruel. You ever been there? Okay. Just feel like you're in deep trouble. And he says at the very end, verse 13, that he could have fainted. He could have collapsed under the pressure of it all. I had fainted unless he was able to trust in the goodness of the Lord. Folks, it was the goodness of the Lord that allowed him to stay strong. And his personal testimony that we see in chapter 27 isn't that he was strong. You see that? He's not saying, I did a really good job here. I was the one who, you know, just pulled myself up by the bootstraps here. I had fainted. I would have collapsed unless it was for the Lord. But God showed himself strong. And so this whole psalm is about how God is good and how God can be trusted. And so in my Bible, I've highlighted all the times that he's referenced himself. But also I went through in blue and I highlighted all the times God was mentioned here. And what you see is although there was a lot of talk about himself, there's just as much blue on the page how God helped him through all those struggles. And folks, that's what we need. Sometimes we just need a visual to see how wonderful God is. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Oh, it may be dark for you. Oh, it may be a great struggle. But the Lord is there. And if you would just look to the Lord, you would find that he's good. The Lord is the strength of my life. Verse 5, he describes how the Lord is his place of refuge. Verse 9, he describes God as the God of my salvation. We see in verse 10, he described how God cared for him. In verses 11 and 12, he knew the Lord would teach him, lead him, and deliver him. Folks, do you ever forget that when you're going through it? You have the weight of the world on your shoulders. You feel like you're bowed down. And you forget that God wants to lead you. God wants to guide you. So in verses 11 and 12, there's an important part there where he knew that the Lord would teach him. The Lord would lead him and guide him. And so, folks, would you align with what David was saying in this psalm? Would you agree with what he's saying? Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of struggles, but it's God who leads me. I think that for the most part, and hopefully I'm not speaking ahead of you, but I think for the most part we would raise our hand and say, yeah, I agree with that. I agree that God is good. And what he can do, he will do. And yes, I know he can do that. So where is David going then? Where's the application to this psalm? God has been good. God will be good. What's the application here? I believe that we see the application in verse 14. Look at verse 14. Yes, he's talking about God's goodness. Yes, he's talking about, yes, you can trust in God. But that's not the application of Psalm 27. Look at what he says in verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Folks, don't you hate to wait? Right?
Sure.
You do. I do. We always want to move to the next step. And if you're like me in any way, I'm thinking months ahead. Are you that kind of person? I know some of you are. Okay. And you're a type A, and you're thinking of next year. You're thinking 10 years down the road. That's just how most of us are. And even if you're not that far ahead, you know, you're thinking about tomorrow. You want to be somewhere tomorrow. There are things that you are planning. Some of you ladies are planners too. You have things on your refrigerator. You have things in notebooks. You have things all over the place where you're focused on this is the next step. And we set our expectations on things. And oftentimes we just want to get things done. Even if it's the wrong way. Have you ever done that? I just want to get this done. I don't care how I get it done. Even if it's wrong, I'm going to do it. Okay? I think we all have testimonies about that. But folks, we're so driven by what's next. What about my next job? I got to get out of this job. I just got to go to the next job. Next church. I'm done with this church. Okay? These people... Pastor, you know, the assistant pastor, I'm just done with these people. And we jump from next to next to next to next, and everything is about next, even in relationships. Oh, these people, you know, the right side, the left side, the middle. You know, I'm shifting. Okay, and it's all about next. You know, this is, you know, I'm done, and so I'm gonna move on, and we come to things, and we come to areas of waiting, and we think we need to just do something. Do you feel that way? I just need to do something. But what God is saying in the application of Psalm 27, the psalmist is sharing with us God's mind. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Folks, maybe God wants you to wait in the areas where He's placed you right now. Maybe you're kind of between a rock and a hard place, maybe with your finances. Or maybe you're dealing with a family member. Maybe you're in the right with this, but you're dealing with a difficult family member. Or maybe there's trouble at work. Or maybe you're experiencing some kind of personal struggle or even a deep hurt. And oftentimes we just want to move on. We just want to be past that. God, I don't want to be in this issue. And we start thinking, I just got to fix this. I just got to fix it on my own. And what God often is telling us, you just need to wait. You just need to be patient. And oftentimes, we respond the wrong way because we jump ahead of what God is trying to do. And God says, wait. And I want to share with you just a quick illustration, then we'll jump back to our passage, of someone who responded quickly and rashly and got himself into big trouble because he didn't just wait. Let's turn to 1 Samuel 13. You know this passage. But folks, I think this is such a picture of how we often respond when we want to just move on to the next thing, where God is saying, I just want you to wait. Notice 1 Samuel chapter 13, beginning in verse 8. Look at the last part of verse 7. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him. What's that next word? So he had a whole bunch of people that were fearful. Okay, they were trembling. They were afraid. Verse 8, 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 8. And he tarried 7 days, according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. Okay, but he had waited, right? He had waited. Lord, I waited 7 days. That's it. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. You know, oftentimes when we go through struggles, we kind of set a time limit with God. And that's what Saul did here. 7 days, he's supposed to be here. I'm going to move ahead. I'm going to offer the sacrifice. Instead of waiting for God's way of doing it. And folks, oftentimes we do that. We're so much like Saul. Don't think that this isn't you. Don't think that this isn't me. This is me. I'm just like Saul so often. I just want to get out from under this. God, I just need to move on. I need to do what I think is right and be past this. But notice what happened in verse 10. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, it, right after he had taken that next step of disobedience, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw the people were scattered from me, and that he came, and that thou came not within the days appointed, and that the Philistine gathered themselves together at you see all the excuses? Well, God, I should have done this, and this is what I needed to do. And God just wanted him to wait. God wanted it to be done the proper way. So therefore, he said, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made a supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. Do you see, folks, how when we wait, we often give God a timeline? But then we come up with a whole bunch of excuses as to why we shouldn't wait. His excuses sounded pretty good, didn't they?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it was pretty good. He probably thought through them. and gave these excuses. But notice what Samuel said to Saul in verse 13. And Samuel said unto Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever, but now thy kingdom shall not continue." Oh, what a sad thing, right?
Yeah.
He just should have waited. I mean, he could have waited another day, maybe. We don't know the exact time. He could have waited several days or whatever. He could have waited in order to do it the right way, but he didn't wait. And so he lost his kingdom. Folks, our impulsivity, our rashness is so foolish. And that's what we see in this lesson with Saul. He just acted impulsively. He lost his kingdom because he acted foolishly. He didn't wait. He came up with all these excuses. He didn't take responsibility for the way he went about that. And his life became a huge mess. Would you say that Saul was a real leader with doing what was right? Would you say that? No, he's really a hot mess, wasn't he? Okay. And folks, do you see where it started? It started, he didn't wait. He thought he was in charge. I'm just going to do whatever I want to do. I'm not going to wait. I'm just going to move forward even if it's wrong. And folks, so often God forces us to wait, and yet we act like Saul, foolishly. We just move. We do things. We act in a certain way because we just want to do something because we're sick of waiting. And often we act very foolishly. Maybe you have a test and you think, well, this is so hard. And so young people will cheat on a test because they think it's so hard instead of studying, instead of taking the time to put in the effort to study. Instead of just doing the work that needs to be done, they'll act foolishly. So many come to their marriage and they say, wow, this is so hard. Instead of waiting and working it out God's way, they move on. So many young people say, I'll never get out from under my parents' authority. These parents of mine, they're just such a pain. And instead of waiting, they rebel and they disobey. And they move on. And they take themselves out from under that protection of their parents. And they leave everything they knew. They leave their parents. They leave their church body. And they go off on their own. And they act foolishly. Because they just don't want to wait. I want it now. I want that life now. I want to be married. I just want to be in a relationship. And so they try to bend God's rules in order to make it fit their life. So often we act foolishly. We say things like, I just don't like where I'm at in life. And so I'm going to make a change, even if it's wrong, even if it doesn't please God. Maybe you don't like the circumstances you're in and you just want to get busy. I just want to do something, God, even if it's wrong. And we act foolishly. Folks, when we refuse to wait on the Lord, we act foolishly. And so King Saul is the exact opposite of what David is saying in Psalm 27. If you're not back in Psalm 27, let's go there. Wait on the Lord. Saul said, I'm going to make a sacrifice even if it's wrong. David says, our God is good. Our God can be trusted. He's the God of my salvation. So therefore, wait on God. I want us to look at several characteristics of biblical waiting in verse 14. And this is just one passage that we could look at. You see this, I think in the Psalms it's mentioned over at least 40 times, this idea of waiting on the Lord. And so I want us to look at it, four thoughts of biblical waiting. Number one, waiting on the Lord indicates that God has placed a divine delay in your life. You get that?
Yeah.
There are things in our life where God purposefully delays you. And He does it. It's from Him. Folks, don't come to those delays and think, I just got to get past it. We see all over Scripture that we need to wait on Him. And so the first characteristic that I think is important for us to dwell on is the fact that if God has placed you in a position to wait, that He's put that delay there. He's the one that's delaying you. Oftentimes, we think that something's broken, and so I just want to fix it. I want to get past this delay. Have you ever faced that in your house? You know, God places a broken pipe or a broken door or something that needs to be fixed, and, you know, we wish we could be doing something else, but it's something in our house. God has placed that delay in your life. The fact that you need to wait is indicative that God has placed this delay. Maybe sadness. That's a type of delay. Maybe you have sorrow or sadness in your life. You know, a lot of us wish, you know, God, I just wish I could be past this. I don't want to be sad anymore. I don't want this grief. I don't want this sorrow anymore. God says, I want you to wait. I want you to go through this. And oftentimes we push back and say, I just want to move on. I want to be 5 years ahead. I want to be 10 years ahead. I just want to move on. And God says, wait on the Lord. Maybe it's a setback along the way in a relationship. Maybe you think, I wish I could be further along. God has placed that delay in your life. Maybe it's an unfulfilled desire. I want it now, God. I want to be married. I want a significant other. I don't want to have to feel this way. I want this desire met. Folks, when we read that God tells us to wait, it's an indication that He places divine delays in our life. Maybe you have those kind of delays in your life, and you've maybe just recognized them as inconveniences. Oh, this is just an inconvenience of life. I should have done something different. This is so bad. But God has placed those divine delays in your life. God doesn't do it for our bad. He does it for our good. So often we look at these delays and we get mad at God or bitter at God, but really He's doing it for our good, and that's what He's sharing with us. That's what the psalmist is sharing with us in Psalm 27, that a good God can be trusted, and so therefore wait on Him. So the first characteristic of biblical waiting is that that God has placed that delay in your life. The second thing that I want us to see about biblical waiting is that sometimes in biblical waiting, we just need to wait for God to make the next move. Sometimes we just need to wait for God to make the next move. Look at our passage. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He mentions that phrase, on the Lord. And so the indication is that we need to wait for Him to make the next move. You know, oftentimes we get in these delays and we feel boxed in. We say things like, I feel like I'm between a rock and a hard place. But what the psalmist is saying, as you wait, you need to wait for Him. You need to wait for Him to make the next move. And it's interesting, this word wait that we look at, it has the idea of almost being bound. So a lot of times as we wait, we feel like our hands are tied. God, I just can't do anything here. I can't move forward. I can't move backwards. I can't move right or left. I feel like I'm bound in this circumstance. I feel like I'm bound with this person. I feel like I'm bound in this family or this ministry. I feel like I'm bound. Part of biblical waiting is waiting for God to help you make the right move. A lot of times we want to just get ahead and just make a move. But waiting on the Lord is waiting for Him to give you clear direction on that next move. And maybe that next move would come from maybe God giving you guidance as to what to do in that circumstance, maybe giving you clear direction. Maybe God would even change your circumstances outside of you being involved with it. Maybe God just brings divine comfort so you can go through that circumstance. That's what I mean about God making the next move. We have to wait for Him to give clear direction or change the circumstances or to give you comfort or maybe more grace, whatever it is. But He's the one that we wait on. A lot of times we want to step in and we want to say, God, I'm going to unshackle myself from this situation and I'm going to do something even if it's wrong. But God wants us to wait on Him. Folks, you know that God can do the impossible.
Amen.
And so often we step and we I say this respectfully and I hope you understand what I'm saying. We get in God's way. I understand we can't get in God's way. Okay, God is perfectly in control, but there is an aspect we feel like we need to get in God's way and we need to take the next step. Where waiting on God is saying, God, my hands are bound. I'm shackled here. I need you to make the next move. And God does that. Folks, when I have prayed this way, God, I'm waiting for you to make the next move. God brings a person. God changes the circumstances. God gives me clear direction, but it's always Him. It's without me, you know, going and, you know, getting a book on how to get through this struggle. It's outside of that. God gives clear direction if we just simply wait on Him. And so the indication of waiting on Him is that He's placed this divine delay in our life, and then we're willing to wait on Him to make the next move. And folks, this is where we often go wrong. Oh yeah, God, we're willing to wait on You, but I'm going to make the next move. And oftentimes we have to say, you know what, God, I have about 10 things that I could do, but I don't believe they're pleasing to You. And so I'm just going to wait, and I'm going to be patient, and I'm going to trust in You, and I'm going to know that if You want me to move, I'm just going to wait for You to make that clear. And folks, if we would do that, I think we would save ourselves so much headache. We'd save ourselves so much rashness and impulsivity, and we'd get away from so much foolishness. But God can do the impossible. If God wants to take you out of that circumstance, He can do it. And if we would just step back and wait on Him, we would see Him work in a glorious way.
Amen.
And yet, I think we say that we agree with this statement academically, but yet often we step in and we try to take God's place. Folks, do you know that God could take away the delay that's in your life right now if He wanted to? He could. He could take it all away. He could bring somebody to help you. He could change your circumstances. He could do it just like this. But He wants you to wait because He wants you to learn something. And so sometimes we just have to be willing to trust in Him. But the trust goes beyond just trusting by waiting. We need to wait and see what the Lord will do. Notice the third aspect of waiting. As you wait on the Lord, look at verse 14. He tells us to be of good courage. So as you wait, what's the temptation? To be afraid, to lose heart. Oh, God, it's been so long. Saul says, oh, it's been 7 days. Folks, I would submit, I think many of you are probably well past 7 days with some of the things you're waiting on. Would you agree? I could give you a list of things in my own life that are longer than 7 days. And so often I want to step in and I want to say, God, I want past this. I want to get beyond this. And oftentimes as I think of some of those things, it's like, oh God, I think I need to do something here. I need to reach out, or I need to invest better. I need to, you know, this, or I need to see. And God's just saying, don't be afraid. I'm in control. I can be trusted. And so He tells us to be of good courage. You know what He's saying there? Those 13 verses before that describe how good God is, hold on to those things. Be of good courage. God is good. He knows that you're going through the struggle you're going through. He knows the issues that you're going through. So be of good courage. Don't fear. You know what happens a lot of times? We get and we have to wait, you know, 7+ days and we walk away from the Lord. I mean, how many times in our circles we've seen people just walk away from the Lord? It's because they're fearful of the circumstances that lay ahead. They're fearful of continuing on in that struggle. And so they go to another church where they leave a relationship, they leave the Lord altogether, and they say, I don't want to wait. Because there's that fear, there's that anxiety, they've lost heart in the Lord. So folks, whatever you're going through, if God has made you wait, be of good courage. He hasn't placed this area of waiting to irritate you. He hasn't placed this area of waiting just as an inconvenience for you. He's placed this area of waiting to grow you. And these delays should draw us closer to the Lord. And yet often what we do when we come to these delays where God says, wait, we focus on everything else but Him. And we try to get our hands on something that is physical, that we can grasp onto. And what God says is, be of good courage and hold on to these promises that I've given you.
Amen.
Folks, God is good. Mm-hmm. And there's no need for us to be afraid. Be of good courage. Fourthly, as you wait, notice in our verse, God wants to strengthen you. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He will strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You know what? Your delay is an opportunity for you to trust Him. And as you trust Him, you know what He does? He strengthens you. You know, you may feel very weak in the circumstances you're in, but as you trust in the Lord, God gives you strength. And He'll continue to give you strength. As you take courage and you trust in Him, He empowers your heart. He gives you strength that you don't have. Have you ever been there where you just lost strength? God, I have nothing here at all. And as you come to Him and you wait on Him and you take great courage and you find who He is and you see who He is, and as you wait on Him and you don't step in His way, and you just take kind of a back seat to the situation and you just go to Him in prayer, what you find is He constantly infuses you, empowers you.
Amen.
With strength. And folks, it's a wonderful thing.
Amen.
It's so much better than trying to do things your own way.
Mm-hmm.
And what God does is He strengthens you. And you know, there are times though that it hurts. You know, as we go through these struggles and as we wait, there's some pain in that. And there's pain in waiting. Just like many of you have gone to physical therapy. There's pain as you do that therapy. And folks, often as we wait, it hurts. And our waiting is a lot of times like physical therapy, where God is strengthening us. He's exercising us. And He strengthens our inner man. And those delays that we face are an exercise. Folks, if we could see those delays more like exercise instead of just these bad things that come our way, we could do so much better.
Right.
It hurts as we go through, but in the end, God desires to make us stronger as we depend upon Him. So four things about waiting. God has placed these divine delays in your life. Folks, are you going through one of those right now? I think we all could probably give a list of all the different things that we're waiting on. God has placed that delay in your life. And as we wait, we need to just let Him be the one to make the next move. God, what do you want me to do in this circumstance? I'm not going to jump ahead. I'm not going to jump behind. I'm just going to wait for you to make the next move. What do you want me to do in this situation? And as you wait, so easy to lose heart. So easy to get discouraged and fearful. God says, take courage. Be brave. Trust in Me. I'm going to help you. And then fourthly, we see that God desires to strengthen you. Isn't it interesting, though, you see in this passage, be of good courage, and then He will strengthen you? Okay, so there's a condition there that we need to trust in Him. We need to be of good courage, and He will strengthen our hearts. Folks, maybe you're in a place in your life where you're waiting right now. Maybe you're one of those people you just don't like to wait. Maybe you're not waiting on anything now because you always step ahead and you do something. Maybe you hate to wait. Maybe you dread the thought of waiting. Well, maybe you'd say, I like the concept of waiting, but how do I do that? Don't you think that's a good question? How do I wait? Okay, it tells us to wait. How do I wait on the Lord? I just want to share one verse with you to explain what it means to wait on the Lord. And I think you could all probably share this verse for me. You probably know it off the top of your head. It's Psalm 46:10. Be still. That's how you wait. Folks, you want to know how to wait on God? Be still and know that I am God. The word be still in Psalm 46:10, it literally means to be quiet. You know, a lot of times when we have to wait for something, we get in a tizzy and we get anxious and we feel like we need to make moves. But the idea of waiting on God in Psalm 46:10 is being still. Relax. Slack. Okay, God, I'm still. I'm just going to wait for you. Folks, that's what we need to do. Be still and know that I am God. Patiently trust in your God. Now, folks, the knowledge here, be still and know, is not an academic knowledge. I know most of you here, and you have a great academic knowledge of God. I think in our circles, we have a great academic knowledge of God. But I think what we really fail at is really knowing Him, and I hate to use this word experientially, because I feel like there's a lot of clarifications there, but I think you understand what I mean. Yeah. We need to know Him more experientially from His Word. We're not just doing some kind of subjective knowing God, or that I know God my own way. We need to experientially know Him through His Word, and we need to get to know Him. So this idea of knowing God is far more than just academic. Folks, I think I could go around and say, can you quote for me something about God? And every one of us could quote something about God. That's not what we're talking about. When we're talking about being still and know that I am God, it's not a textbook knowledge. It's an experiential knowledge, being able to step back, be relaxed, and say, I can't wait to see what God can do here. That's what we're talking about. Be still and just wait and see that He is God. He's in control. He is able to get you out of these issues. If I was to ask one of my sons, I'm not going to put him on the spot here, but there is a way that my son knows the way I think. Would you agree?
Sure.
Okay. And you could say that you know me, but if I was to ask him something about me, he could probably tell us what I'm thinking if I was to ask the question. It may be a little fuzzy with you. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So he knows me experientially because he probably hears me say it all the time to him. But if I was to ask you the same thing, you'd be like, there's probably like 10 different scenarios. I don't know. So you may know what I would say, like on, if I was to share a letter with you or something like that. But he knows me. He knows what Dad's going to say. He knows what Dad's desires are because he's spent time with me. Folks, that's the idea of knowing God. It's so different than knowing the biography of Pastor Jake. It's living with Pastor Jake that makes the difference. Folks, that's the idea of knowing a biography of God and then living with Him. There's a big difference. And so how do I wait on God? Well, I have to be still and I have to know Him. I have to know what He's going to do. And so I know Him so much that I'm willing to just wait until He makes His way known to me.
Amen.
Folks, that's hard to do so often because we want to get in the way. So be still and know that I am God. Folks, I know we hate to wait on the Lord, but you see this command all through Scripture to wait on the Lord. It's actually a command. It's in the imperative tense. It's not something we can just get away and say, well, my circumstance is a little different here. Wait on the Lord is a command. It's something we have to do. And I believe we've got away from this so often in our circles where we're so driven to get things done. We're so driven to just do the next thing that we do a lot of time. We spend a lot of time getting in the way and we do things foolishly. And what God wants us to do, He wants us to be still and He wants us to just know that He is God. So maybe you feel like you've been spinning your wheels. Do you ever feel like a gerbil on a wheel, you know, with something? There are times on my list, I have a whole bunch of things to do. And a lot of times I'll just put a big X next to the issue because I know I have to wait, because I feel like a gerbil on a wheel. And I feel like I'm going nowhere with the issue. And so I just know that's one of those issues where God says, I just want you to wait. I just want you to be still. Maybe God has you like a gerbil on a wheel, and He wants you to wait. You feel like you're going nowhere. You're kind of just spinning. God's calling you. God's calling me to be still. And He wants us to just let Him make the next move. So can I encourage you, don't push against that delay. If you feel like you're that gerbil on that wheel, don't push against that delay that God has placed there for you. Wait on Him. Maybe you're in a position where you have a sense of urgency with your particular issue. Okay? There are issues on my list, probably your list too. There's a sense of urgency. There may be a time constraint. There may be the level of urgency is a little higher than other things. And you're tempted to just do something. Can I encourage you to take a step back and bring that urgency to God? Do you know that God knows your time constraints? God knows your urgency with this matter. And a lot of times I feel, God, I need to do something here. And what God wants us to do is to just come to Him and say, you know what, God, I know you know the urgency to this. And if you want me to get out of it, if you want these other people to get out of it, if you want my family members to get out of it or God's people to get out of this issue, I need you to make that clear. And so, folks, can I urge you to take that urgency? Maybe your issue is urgent. Can I urge you to take that urgency to God? And He knows. Don't act foolishly. Don't act rashly because there's a time constraint or an urgency constraint. Don't act foolishly or impulsive with those issues. And if you know that there's an option that you're leaning towards that isn't pleasing to God, the best thing to do is wait. Folks, there's nothing wrong in waiting on the Lord. Sometimes God just wants us to take a step back and wait for Him to make it clear, and He gives us another option. Have you ever been there? Mm-hmm. Maybe you've had all these options. You think, well, this is the best one, but you know it's not totally right. Sometimes God wants us to take a step back, be still, and wait for Him to bring an option that is pleasing to Him. Right. And folks, if we could do that, if we would do that, we would get away from acting so rashly. Maybe you're struggling with a relationship. Okay, I think we've all struggled with relationships in some way. And maybe you want out. Maybe you're the opposite. You want into a relationship. And you're trying to make moves to try to make this work. But you know in your heart that it's not pleasing to God. Can I encourage you to take a step back, be still, and know that He's God. He can bring you into a relationship. He can bring you out of a relationship. He can mend that relationship you're in. If we would just wait on Him. And so the psalmist tells us in Psalm 27 that God's good. He's in control. And if we would just wait on Him, we would find that He is the God that's described in here. He can take you out of situations. He can bring you into another situation. He can move you if we would just simply wait on Him. And so the application for Psalm 27 isn't necessarily what you need to be doing in a situation or what God could do. The issue, the application is, would you just wait on God? Trust Him? Believe Him? Let Him make the next move. And when you do that, you'll find that He can be trusted. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for being such a faithful God. Thank you for the fact that even though we may not understand what we're going through, we can know that You're in control. And so I do pray, Lord, that whatever areas they may be where we're waiting, I do pray that You would give us heart to continue to wait, and that we would not act rashly or act foolishly. Or help us not to be like Saul, who just did something, who just went to the next step, even though it was wrong. I do pray that we would know You more, and that we would really seek to be quiet before You and wait for You to make the next move. Lord, would You make that clear in each of our hearts? I know there are so many different applications to this, but I do pray that You would instill these truths in each of our lives. I do pray that if there are some who don't know Christ as their Savior, that they would come to know You today. Lord, we need You. Thank You for being a God who is in control and who is able to do the impossible. We love You so much. In Jesus' name, amen.